Why don't you take your Bible and turn, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. As we open our Bibles to this passage, you're opening the Bible probably to one of the most comforting, assuring, and hope-filled passages in the entire Bible. It is in this passage here that we find Jesus telling those that have placed their trust in him, he calls us my sheep. It's an endearing term, a very endearing term. He describes that eternal, secure life that as believers in him, that we're secure in him. And not only that, it's thrilling to not only to be his sheep, to learn about his shepherding work that he does and what it really means to belong to him. There's nothing more precious than this. And so as we're going into this passage, we need some kind of context that goes along with this. And so I want you to begin with me in verse 22. And notice that I'm going to read from verse 22 down through to verse 31. It says this: "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." We have a great passage that's here before us. We learned some things about it because Jesus is walking into the temple, Herod's temple at this time, and he's doing it in the winter months that's there. And in fact, it is a rainy, cold season in December for the Jewish people in Jerusalem that's there. And so it says that when he walked into the temple, he walked into Solomon's porch, which is on the east side of the temple. And along with it, it was one of the few areas that was fully sheltered. And so he walks into a sheltered area, probably because of the rains that were happening during this time in December. And we also, it's interesting, using the terms my sheep, this is the place that the early church met when you get to Acts chapter 3 as well as in Acts chapter 5, where the church is meeting in the temple. They were meeting in Solomon's porch. Another thing we know about this month, it was the time that the Jews celebrated the Feast of Dedication. It's what we know today as Hanukkah. December, on the average, it's around our December 9th through the 16th. And so it's about that time of year. And what is fascinating about chapter 10, 16 times we are called his sheep. This only appears in the New Testament 40 times. Of that 40 times in the entire New Testament, 16 times right here in this particular passage. And so the term, my sheep, a very powerful term for believers. And in fact, when you think about it, Jesus comes as the Lamb of God. And then he calls his church his flock. That's what he calls you, his flock. So you see all the shepherding terms that are here. He himself is the true and good shepherd who shepherds his flock, obviously. And those who lead his church, the under-shepherds there, the poimen is the Greek word. We translate it pastor. Literal translation, shepherd is what it is. And so he uses all these terms identifying us as his sheep. And of course, you're called sons and daughters of God, and we're also called disciples and servants. But the most obvious and the one that is most frequent throughout the whole New Testament You're called his sheep. My sheep is what Jesus says. You ever wonder why God does that? Why he calls you my sheep? Let me give you a little information about sheep. It may be because if you were to go and examine all of zoology, not that I'm calling you a menagerie at all, but, you know, if you were to examine zoology and you were to look at all the animals that are associated with men, in fact, go to a circus, you'll see trained dogs, sometimes trained cats, you'll see lions and tigers, you'll see other animals and creatures, monkeys and so forth. Have you ever gone to the circus and seen trained sheep? Probably because sheep aren't really trainable. And in fact, all the animals that can be trapped and domesticated by man, the dumbest of them all are sheep. And so perhaps when God, understanding what sheep were and how helpless and hopeless they were on their own, and then when he looked on humanity, he probably shook his head and he says, oh, my sheep, that's probably what happened. Now, that's my opinion. Number one, sheep. As sheep, we need his constant guidance. Because, one, sheep are utterly helpless and cannot find their way without a guide. You put them near a pasture, they'll never find that pasture. They are helpless unless a guide comes along and kind of directs them and steers them and leads them into that particular pasture that's there. And so when God looked down on lost humanity in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, he says, all they are like sheep gone astray. Because sheep, even if you put them next to the pasture, they won't make it there unless someone guides them or they accidentally stumble into it. As sheep, secondly, we need constant cleaning. Did you know that sheep are amongst the dirtiest of animals associated with men? It's the tendency of the wool that they carry. The wool kind of, as it goes past dirt, dust, that's in the air or mud, it will cling to the wool and get matted in there. And you would think when it dries out that it would kind of crumble and flake and come off. It doesn't. It just kind of mats in even more and it gets dirtier. As a result of this, sheep, as they get fuller with their wool, they have this unpleasant odor that is kind of natural to the sheep. They stink, in other words. As the mud kind of adheres to them. And so when you look at all the animals associated with mankind, sheep are amongst the dirtiest of all of them. Sheep are incapable of cleaning themselves. It requires the shepherd to come along and to clean them. And so it requires much, and certainly they are helpless without a shepherd. I think the third thing that perhaps why when God looks down on us and he calls us sheep, we need constant care. Sometimes in our arrogance and our pride, we say we don't, but we need constant care. Think about sheep. Sheep are amongst the most tender of the creatures that God has made. They suffer more hurts and pains than you can imagine. If you were to go to a slaughterhouse, and I'm not recommending you do that, where they slaughter sheep, it's very rare for them to find a pelt that is not damaged or a body that is not bruised in some way, simply because of their helplessness and getting in trouble and falling and all the other things that come along. So a sheep will spend half its life bleeding, bleeding, that kind of bleeding, because of physical distress. And the other half is because they're about ready to get in trouble again later on. And so sheep are dependent. They must always, always be provided for. And probably the only alluring kind of quality I can see in sheep is that they are so absolutely helpless. That would be the alluring quality. That's why it says our good shepherd died for the sheep. The only way to rescue sheep headed to destruction is for someone to come and to lead them in the right way. That's why God sent from heaven his son to come here to this earth to die for our sins. And literally, it's to lead us in the right way. As he and our pastors are going to look at, he's the door. He's the way. You know, he's the one who guides us. He's the good shepherd. And that's why even when John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, he pointed to him. He says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So as a sheep, we're helpless and so totally incapable of cleansing ourselves and protecting ourselves. We need a shepherd. So which leads us to this passage here. And that's perhaps why Jesus is referring to us as sheep as well. The analogy that God pre-foreordained, he wanted us to see that. Some things we need to understand about sheep and shepherding. As believers, a believer is someone who believes that Christ died for their sins, and they are people now, if you're genuine believers, they hear and obey Christ's voice. You're going to see that. Non-believers do not hear and obey Christ's voice. And when the believers, as obeying God, then they enter into what you call the abundant life and a satisfying life because they experience this. And they respond to God's word and they follow Christ and they know they are eternally secure. We're going to see this in this passage here. So let me read here in John chapter 10, verse 1, just to get a little framework here. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up the other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. In other words, there's only one way into the sheepfold, and that's through the door, number one. And in this, you know, there's a lot of people, even false teachers, that want to climb in and they want to lead people all different directions that are there. But no, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Go down to verse 3 and notice what it says. To him the porter, and the porter is the Father. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. In other words, the Father opens the door, and the shepherd walks in, and all these sheep are all over the place. Not all his sheep, just sheep that are all in this fold. And the shepherd goes and he calls his sheep and he's, come here, sheep, or I don't know what he calls them. But it's amazing, the sheep that know the shepherd's voice, their heads will lift up. And the other sheep will keep on grazing and doing bumping or doing all the things that they're doing. But the sheep that know the shepherd's voice, their heads will lift up. And then he'll beckon them and all the sheep, his sheep, will follow. The rest of the sheep will stay back there. And the sheep follow him. So, you know, if you lived in this agricultural culture of Jesus' day, almost everybody understood that point. And in verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep, notice, by name, and leadeth them out. Isn't that an intimate picture of our Savior knowing? Did you know, when you place your trust in Christ, he knows you by name. There's nothing more precious than that. It's not like, you know, sometimes, you know, we have on Wednesday nights and it's there. And I know everybody's name, or I think I do anyways. But, you know, when you're standing in public and someone raises their hand, sometimes I have this intellectual interlude that takes place. And, yeah, you with the green glasses, you know. And I know the name, but it just kind of goes. But, you know, our Savior doesn't forget anybody. And he knows everyone that are his. My sheep hear my voice, he says. And they follow me. They know his voice. And he knows their name. We have a great shepherd that's there. And it's assuring for those that are his children. Notice what happens in verse 9. I am the door. And these are words that Jesus is saying. So Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And so Jesus said, those that come in by me, there's no other way that you're going to be able to come and have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. It's only through Jesus. And so he says, anybody who's going to come in by me, you know, they are going to be saved. And then along with this in verse 9, they're going to find pasture. They're going to find a place of hope and security that only he can provide. Remember, we're helpless sheep. And so we have a great shepherd that does so much. In verse 10, he even goes on a little further. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come that they might have life. In other words, a lot of false teachers out there and a lot of false shepherds. If you go to a church and someone's talking about something else other than following Jesus Christ, leave. If they're not upholding his word, leave. You know, because it's not about the pastor. It's not about the building. It's not about the label. It's all about Jesus Christ. That's all it is. And Jesus is saying right here, you know, there's thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And the kind of stealing and killing and destroying that they do ends up in eternal separation from God and in hell. But he goes on, he says, but those that believe in me, they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know how good our shepherd is in verse 11. He talks about it. The good shepherd, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. Christ died for us. And he was raised again that we might know that we have everlasting life. And it's his children that recognize this very point. Verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Now, two thoughts that are here. Number one, second time he's saying this, I know my sheep. Isn't that marvelous? He knows those pains that you have. He knows those trials you have. He knows the circumstances that you're experiencing. He knows. I know my sheep. As a good shepherd, he knows if they're limping. He knows if the flies are going around, then so he anoints them so the flies won't land. He does all kinds of things for his sheep. He knows his sheep. And also because of the tender care, the sheep also know him. I trust you know the Lord Jesus Christ. When you know Jesus Christ, he knows you. But also you'll hear his voice. You'll know him. He goes on. He doesn't just end there. He tells us even more. Drop down to verse 26. Because there were a group of people that didn't, and this is the world, even though the Pharisees were a little group of people, there are literally people in this world that don't want anything to do with Jesus. They just think they're going to get to heaven in some way, and they don't need the forgiveness or whatever. And notice what he says here in verse 26, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I will know them, and they will follow me. There's going to be action that's going to be taking place in the life of a believer. If you're generally a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will regularly hear Jesus' voice and you will regularly be following him. Those are evidences. If those evidences are not in your life, you're not his sheep. I dare say in America, across our country and in the Western world, people have been hearing the gospel for many years. And as a result of it, there's a lot of people that they have this head knowledge, but you know what? They're not hearing, nor are they following. And the reason why they're not hearing and they're not following, they're not his sheep. What a terrible thing to be. These men that were here, in especially in verse 26, these men had seen Jesus' works. They had all the head knowledge. They had all the visual assault that takes place when Jesus heals the person and raises him from the dead. And he does all the other miracles and he speaks his word. And yet as a result, they never believed and never placed their trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, no, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Most amazing passage here in what he says in verse 28. I love it. He says, and I give unto them, because they believed on me, Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, we're in Christ's hands, we're in the Father's hands. Most of you are familiar with that, and that's where we are. It's a clear understanding of the security that we as believers have in Jesus Christ. It's not that you're going to shake yourself free and you're going to go wandering. You know, some people say, oh, yeah, they trusted in Christ many years ago. They never showed any fruit and they've been wandering for a long time. No. You believed a lie. If that's the case and people are deceiving themselves, that does not happen. Oh, you may wander for a while, but you know what the good shepherd does to wandering sheep? He breaks their legs. And he does it because he doesn't want them to wander, but also he wants them to be safe. He doesn't want them to get killed. And then he carries them. And they understand what it means to be carried and to be healed by him. But if there's continual wandering, that happens with those sheep that have no shepherd. Doesn't end in this passage. This is a great passage, though, that speaks of us being his sheep. I want you to go on to just to chapter 11, just to understand this is threaded throughout this marvelous gospel. Drop down to verse 25 of chapter 11. Notice what Jesus says here. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, in other words, there's an actual understanding that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Though he were dead in trespasses and sins, the moment you believe, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth, believeth in me, and shall never die. Believest thou this? And certainly she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And so, you know, belief is a thing that a believer, a genuine believer, will be doing. A believer also, go to chapter 12, there's something else a believer will be doing. Not only a believer will be continually believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a manifestation of this faith. Betty Ann and I, we had a great time with our granddaughter, Caitlin. It was awesome. You know, we haven't seen her for a while. And last time we saw her, she was so big. And then we saw her now at 20 months. It was great. And I noticed when Kyle, her daddy, was in California and he couldn't be with his daughter, he was sending these little messages that he would save. And so in the morning, Amy would open it up and here's daddy talking to Caitlin. And Caitlin, oh, daddy, we got this idea. We said, wow. We can communicate with our granddaughter this way also. It's kind of cool. And so we've been making all these little videos, and we're sending it off to Caitlin and from Mimi and from Poppy. And it's really neat that we're able to communicate that way with her. And it's a constant kind of thing that we want to do is have this kind of communication. And as a result, and I was thinking of these passages, one of the things that I was seeing in these videos was something that came out of our own life. We had little hand puppets, and the hand puppets were praying for saying grace. The hand puppets were quoting scripture. Now, it wasn't that we planned it. It just came out of our life. That's our life when we walk with Christ. It's a new life in Christ. And it made me think, now, if someone in the world were making the video, would they include those things? I don't think so. If you were making a video, is Christ in the video? Or is it just stuff about the world? You see, what happens if we were to videotape your life, it would capture what is the most important thing in your life and what you are. In fact, it will probably capture whether you're really his sheep or you're really something that's not. Notice what his sheep will do here in chapter 12. Drop down to verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. In other words, they are going to hate the system of this world. Not that I love the world. And I love the beauty and the things that God has given. There's nothing wrong with this great creation God has given. But what happens, the system is corrupt to the core and fallen. And boy, I'll tell you what, I hate those things. I don't want to be part of it, nor do I want to mirror that. I used to be part of it. I used to mirror that. But when I came to know Christ as his sheep now, I want to be changed more into the image of my Savior. Don't you? And it should be reflected in our lives. That's what happens. If my sheep hear my voice, Jesus says, and they follow me, you know, there will be a mirroring of our Savior in our lives. Verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, he will my Father honor. And so there will be a mirroring, there will be doing what Christ wants us to be. In fact, drop down to verse 36, chapter 12. While ye are light, we're going to be like this little light in the world. Believe in the light, ye, that ye may be the children of light. And it should be just like in the little videos that we're making for little Caitlin. It's going to reflect the light of Christ, because that's the light. That's the one whom I want to glorify. And that's the one Betty Ann wants to glorify, Christ, in all our lives. Is that what you want to do? I want you to drop down to verse 44, chapter 12. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. It's not just that we believe on Jesus, but we also believe that God the Father sent God the Son here to this earth. He's just talking about the triunity that's there. And it's the whole thing. As a believer, we will believe these things. We will practice these things, because this is what we are. We became his sheep. My sheep will hear my voice. My sheep will follow me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You know, these are the things that Jesus says. He continually speaks of these things. As sheep, chapter 13 of John, John chapter 13, verse 8, notice what it says here. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. You know, this is Peter, you know, didn't want the Lord when the foot washing was going on in the upper room. He says, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part in me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Maybe that phrase is true here, too. Peter was one who placed his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of placing his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was washed of all his sins. He was cleansed and made right. And now when he walks through the world, he was picking up things in this world. Still, he was washed. He was saved. He was in Jesus' hand, in the Father's hands. But still, he needed spot cleaning. Well, Peter needed that. But notice this last part of it, there was not all the people that were there assembled in the upper room that were genuine believers washed thoroughly by the blood of the Lamb. And that person was Judas Iscariot. He was there in the midst, in hearing all the things about Jesus, yet he never placed his trust in Jesus. And that's what Peter's talking about. A believer is someone who has been bathed completely by Christ. Verse 35 of chapter 13, a believer also will have some kind of supernatural love one toward another. Notice he says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. Just another manifestation of being sheep. You know, there's this, because you're a changed person, it's going to be love one toward another. These things that God's sheep will be doing. You go to chapter 14, you know, or chapter 15, we can keep on going. But chapter 14, a believer is someone who comes and is drawn by Christ and obeys him. When you get to chapter 15, he's talking about believers that are going to be fruitful because he says that believers will bring forth much fruit. And he's talking about spiritual fruit. He's talking about love, joy, peace. He's talking about that kind of fruit, as well as he's talking about another kind of fruit that is serving him and loving one another. Those are part of the fruit that comes from God's sheep. And if those things are absent, they're not a sheep. Chapter 17, he talks about an intimate relationship that God has with his sheep. Chapter 18, it's talking about believers, or you can turn there. Let's look at chapter 18. Look at verse 37. He's talking to Pilate. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and to this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. I can go on. Well, I hope you get it. If you're his sheep, you will hear his voice. If you're his sheep, not only that, you'll hear his voice, that you'll obey his voice, and you will follow him. That will be a regular practice in your life. Oh, yeah, sheep, even sheep that are part of the right flock, will stumble and fall and wander a little bit. But if you're wandering, the good shepherd's going to come, and he's going to be bringing you back into this flock. You're in Christ's hands. You're in the Father's hands. You're eternally secure. You're his. Nothing more precious than that. Are you a sheep? A lot of people say, oh yeah, I'm a sheep. A believer in the gospel, according to Jesus, is someone who hears and obeys Christ's voice, enters into an abundant, satisfying life, personally experiencing Christ. And they belong to Christ, they respond to his word, they follow him, and they are eternally secure. For those of us that know him, wow, isn't that awesome? He even knows my name. And once in a while he says, Craig, you know, knows our name. Some here may not know him. You know about him, but you'd never trusted him. There's nothing more special than coming to a Savior. If he's drawing you, he's calling you, and he is, whosoever will, says in Scripture, come. And the invitation is to you, come. Come to our great Savior. The invitation is also to believers. Maybe you haven't said thank you to a great shepherd who loves you so much. Maybe some of you just, you're standing right where you are, just say, thank you, Jesus. As we're singing the song, or even coming here and just saying thank you. Thank you for the abundant blessings you've given. As we give praise and thanks, because the one we honor is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful for this time that we're able to come before you. We are rejoicing in the blessings that you've given. You call us those that have placed our trust in you, sheep. Because we're so helpless, and we recognize that, and so needy. And yet you have cleansed us, washed us, made us new. We're just so thankful for the privileges of knowing you. We just ask that you'll move within the assembly. And if there's some that don't know you, I pray that even right where they are, they'll say, Lord, I'm hearing this. Forgive me of my sins. I know that I am a sinner, and I know I need Christ to come into my life. And I pray that you'll move and work in their lives, and that today they'll call upon you. And Father, for us that are believers, some have strayed a little bit. I pray that we'll say, Lord, forgive us, and come and guide us back. And he will do that, mend us up. And for others, just to be thankful, Father, thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for this life. Thank you for knowing us as your sheep. We just praise you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.